Welcome to Transforming Minds, where we explore ideas and frameworks that help us navigate change and build fulfilling lives. I'm Babaji Johnson, your host, and I'm really excited to have you here with me today. We're talking about something that affects all of us. Change, whether it's in our personal lives, our professional spaces, or even within broader communities, one thing's for sure, change is inevitable. But the real question is, how do we navigate it effectively? How do we make sure that the changes we embrace actually stick instead of feeling like temporary patches? In today's episode, we'll dive into what I call the ISR model. It's a structured yet flexible framework designed to help you not just manage change, but own the process entirely. And then to add more depth, we'll connect this to the Fisher Personal Transition Curve, a psychological model that helps us understand the emotional journey of change. Together, these tools, I believe, can give us a holistic view of change, both the mental framework and the emotional side of it. By the end of this episode, my hope is that you'll not only have the tools to navigate change, but also a greater understanding of yourself and the opportunities for growth that come with it. Now let's get started. All right, let's take a closer look at the ISR model. This framework truly embodies the idea of structured change. It's clear, it's empowering, and most importantly, it's adaptable to nearly any situation, both personal and organizational. Now the journey begins with acknowledge. And let me say, this may sound simple, but it's one of the hardest steps. Acknowledging the need for change requires an honest look at where you are right now. It's about taking a step back, evaluating your current habits, attitudes, or circumstances, and saying, yes, something needs to shift here. You know, I like to think of this as laying the foundation for a house. Without that strong, solid base, without acknowledgement, everything you build on top becomes unstable. And one powerful way to approach this is through self-assessment. This could be as simple as journaling, or you could ask trusted colleagues or friends for feedback. It's not always comfortable, but it's eye-opening. Honestly, that kind of reflection can uncover so much about what's holding us back. After acknowledgement comes the identify phase, and here the goal is to go deeper. It's about pinpointing what the actual issue is at its root. Superficial solutions don't last. We've got to address the core problem. A great way to do this is through a method called the 5 Whys. Have you heard of it before? It's straightforward, yet incredibly effective. Essentially, you start with your problem and then you keep asking why until the root cause reveals itself. Let me share an example. Say you struggle with missing deadlines. You might ask, why do I miss deadlines? Well, because I procrastinate. Why do I procrastinate? Because I feel overwhelmed. Why am I overwhelmed? I don't prioritize effectively. You get the idea. It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. And by the time you're on that fifth why, you've got something actionable to focus on. This kind of clarity is key. Without it, we end up solving the wrong problem, or worse, no problem at all. There's a lesson in this too. You've got to define the scope of change clearly. Otherwise, you risk getting stuck in confusion or spreading your efforts too thin. Take Kodak, for example. I'm sure many of you remember the story of their downfall. They failed to acknowledge the shift from film to digital photography, and as a result, they fell behind. They couldn't clearly identify the challenge they were facing in the market, and it cost them dearly. It's a cautionary tale, isn't it? So, the first two steps, acknowledge and identify, are all about building a strong foundation for change. Without these, the next steps in the ASR model simply don't work as effectively. Now that we've built a solid foundation with acknowledge and identify, it's time to move forward with the next two steps, seek and apply. This is where action begins, where change moves from being an idea to becoming a tangible, living process. Let's start with SEEK. The idea here is straightforward. Find actionable solutions and gather the resources you'll need. But to do this well, it requires intention and honestly a bit of curiosity. Take resource mapping, for example. This is all about identifying what's available to you, whether that's tools, people, or even training programs. Imagine you're working on improving your time management. What do you have on hand to help? Maybe it's an app like Notion or Asana, tools that can help structure your days better. But here's the thing, it's not just about finding tools. It's also about finding support. This is where having a mentor or an accountability partner can be absolutely transformational. Someone who checks in on your progress, keeps you motivated when that initial excitement wears off. Frankly, it's one of the best ways to stay consistent, especially when the road gets challenging. And speaking of consistency, that's where Apply comes in. This step is all about execution, about taking those plans you built during the SEEK phase and putting them into action with determination. One approach I find particularly effective is milestone tracking. Break your goals into manageable chunks, daily, weekly, monthly, and focus on those steps one at a time. Let's say you're trying to build a better habit around prioritization. Today, you might sit down and sketch out your top three priorities. By the end of the week, you could track how well you stuck to them. And by the end of the month, you might already notice a significant improvement in how you handle your workload. Small, consistent steps lead to big, lasting changes. But here's the key. You've got to celebrate those small wins too. They're what keep you going, especially in the early stages of change. And then, as you move forward, reflect on what's working and adjust as needed. That's how you keep the momentum alive. All right, now that we've covered the practical aspects of navigating change with the ISR model, let's take some time to explore how we emotionally experience change. Because let's face it, change isn't just a checklist, it's deeply personal. And that's where the Fisher personal transition curve comes in. It's a psychological lens that helps us understand the emotional journey we go through during times of transition. The curve takes us through a range of emotions, starting from anxiety or shock when the change first hits, through exploration all the way to commitment. Let's think of an example. Think about an employee transitioning to remote work during the pandemic. At first, they might have felt overwhelmed, anxious about setting up some home office, figuring out tech issues, and missing those casual chats with colleagues. That's the early stage of the curve when everything feels uncertain and out of control. But as they settled in, they likely began to explore their new reality. Experimenting with routines, maybe setting boundaries for work hours, or finding creative ways to connect with their team virtually. This exploration phase starts to shift the emotional dynamic and is a critical turning point. Here's the thing though. Without structure, without intentionality, it's easy to get stuck here or even slide back into frustration. This is where the AISR framework can be a lifesaving saver. Let me explain. First, by acknowledging that feeling of overwhelm, they would give themselves permission to feel it, to name it rather than suppress it. Self-assessment here, like journaling or having a trusted conversation, can be incredibly grounding. Then, in the identify phase, they dig deeper. Why does this feel so challenging? Is it about the tech? Or maybe it's a lack of clear boundaries between work and home life? This pinpointing is what allows for targeted solutions rather than just firefighting frustration. As they move into seek and apply, they could brainstorm solutions and create systems. For instance, dedicating a specific workspace, using collaboration tools effectively, or setting intentional switch-off rituals at the end of the day. These steps provide structure, which makes the unfamiliar more manageable. And finally, reflecting on what's working and celebrating the little victories helps cement this growth, is that iterative process, just like in the ISAR model, that allows them to move forward with confidence. Now, I want you to think about your own life. Where are you on this curve? Are you navigating that early stage anxiety? Or maybe you're starting to explore new possibilities. Take a moment to reflect and pair it with the ISAR strategy that feels most relevant to your situation right now. Maybe today, your step is to simply acknowledge where you're at. Or perhaps it's to seek out a mentor or resource to guide you forward. What's important to remember is this: growth isn't linear, and that's okay. The Fisher curve reminds us that emotions ebb and flow, and the ISAR framework gives us a compass to navigate through them. Together, they empower us to take ownership of our growth, not perfectly, but authentically. So, as we wrap up today's episode, I want to leave you with this thought. Change, while uncomfortable, is also the birthplace of growth. By understanding both the practical and emotional dimensions of transformation, you're not just surviving change, you're thriving through it. My hope is that the frameworks we've discussed today give you not just clarity, but also confidence to face the changes in your life head on. And on that note, thank you for joining me here on Transforming Minds. This is Babji Johnson, reminding you that change is not the enemy, it's the opportunity. Until next time, stay reflective, stay committed, and as always, stay growing.